Thank you, ladies. I don't know about you, but it's at times like this now and then when I get a glimpse and a feeling of that which lives me. A little shiver. Something touches my heart. I feel it. I feel the beauty of a song. The words, your music, God in expression. Thank you so much. Did you know you are whole, your whole beings? Sometimes we forget it. But we are indeed whole, completely whole, now and forever. But oftentimes the world would tell us otherwise. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Always. The foregoing scripture reminds us as to who and what we are. Spiritual sons and daughters of the Most High, of God, in Him, of Him, with no exception. And regardless of what we do or don't do out here in the world of flesh, it has no bearing on the eternal truth of our being, as our spiritual essence cannot be changed, ever, never, under any circumstances. The truth of us, of each of us, forever remains as children of God, and as His children, in Him and of Him, we are whole this very moment. We are complete this very moment. We are perfect now, this very moment. And it is in the realization of our truth and consciousness that makes it so. However, we come into this world of effect also as sons and daughters of man, into a world of duality. Jesus came into that world. It's a sensory world that suggests that we are separate and apart from God, that God is some far-off being way up in the sky that loves some but does not love others, that pours His blessings out on certain people, but certainly not on others. And not knowing our true nature, we are blinded by the flesh and tossed to and fro as we cater to the illusions of the material world. So, as the Adam man, with his breath in his nostrils, we spend untold time during our lives out here in the world, blindly and stubbornly seeking wholeness, to feel whole. But we shall not find it out here in the world, as it is not of this world. Blinded and ignorant of his true nature, man goes about from one phase of life to another in search of meaning, in search of his purpose, and in search of that which he wrongly believes shall give him peace, satisfaction, and the knowledge that, yes, he is indeed whole and complete in this world. But how can man ever become still enough to find out who he really is, receptive enough to feel the voice of truth that lives him? If he spends every waking moment seeking his rewards in a temporary world of effect. Yes, out here in a state of confusion, caught up in a blistering pace of activity, mesmerized by the possibilities of great wealth, great power, and all the glitter and glamour of the material world. I believe here today, we, all of us, me included, came to this church and here at this very moment because there was something in our hearts and in our souls that spoke to us, that brought us here, a silent and gentle calling. We were tired of seeking without, and we wanted answers to our questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What is life all about? Yeah, no doubt that people all over the world have asked themselves these same questions. And as we know, it is only when man is quiet and still enough and receptive enough to hear and to heed that still small voice that beckons to him always. It is only then when man shall finally see the light and come to know the answers to his questions. So until a time of realization, man shall continue on in his fruitless journey out here of seeking purpose and wholeness here in the world of error, of discord, lost because of sense of separation from God. Such folly indeed, my friends, seeking without out here when all is within. So busy looking here and there for our being, and all the while the peace, the joy, and the wholeness man desperately wishes to experience is right there within, closer than breathing and hands and feet, just waiting to be realized, saying to him, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" But so it is with the way of the flesh, the way of the Son of Man. That person who may know about God intellectually, if even that much, but does not know God aright in heart and soul and in consciousness. Rather than take heed to that wonderful voice that calls him, he looks towards the flesh all the more, the outer world of effect, knowing not of its errant, temporary, and limited ways. And there are some that do experience a touch of the Spirit at one time or another, but are oblivious to it, that don't understand it, or fail to take heed, and do not pursue the full glory and beauty of its source. Of course, you and I know that realization does not come until we are receptive and ready to receive it. It took us how many years to see it? But once it is upon us, we must spend time in prayer and meditation in order to gain a greater understanding of our truth. All the while, we are to look to God and to God only for our sufficiencies. And the more we practice God's presence, the greater the understanding of our being and limitless power as his children. Regarding a limited understanding of God, there were those in the Bible that knew of God, but really didn't know who they were. They didn't know that God's omnipresence, omnipotence, also lived them, and they could do all that God could do. Let us recall that even Moses was unaware of the power inherent within him and of his being unaware until he climbed the mountain of holy consciousness. And this climb, this rise in consciousness, brought him in the midst and the presence of God. But even then, with God in front of him, he had to ask, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Yes, that old familiar question, who am I? Moses had to ask. Of course, the rest of the story is well known. Moses realizes and lives in this spiritual truth. And under the shadow of the ever-present and watchful Almighty, goes forward against all odds as the truth of his being, God, brings forth the Jewish people out from Egypt. While I was preparing for this lesson, I read again, as I had many times, the book of Exodus and the story of Moses. And I'd like to share a personal observation that could be construed as trivia, but is nonetheless pretty awesome. I would be very surprised, if there is anyone in our church today, at this moment, that has not watched at one time or another, or possibly many times, like myself, the 1956 Cecil B. DeMille movie, The Ten Commandments, starring none other than Charlton Heston. At any rate, in the movie, there is one line in particular that could well have been written by a divine scientist. In the movie, when Moses finally comes down from the mountaintop, after his communion with God, he is met by Joshua and his wife, Zipporah. And in awe, while looking at Moses and his glowing face and his flowing white beard, his wife, Zipporah, exclaims, "Moses, your hair, your sandals." And Moses says, "I stood upon holy ground." He is then asked, "Can you tell us, Moses?" And Moses says, "My eyes could not look upon him." "Did he speak?" And Moses says, "He revealed his word to my mind, and the word was God." "Did he speak as a man?" Listen to this, the answer to this question. "Did he speak as a man?" And Moses answers, "He is not flesh, but spirit, the light of eternal mind. And I know that his light is in every man." And there it is, the glorious truth of our spiritual being, exclaimed by Charlton Heston himself. And since 1956, during the annual televised showing of the Ten Commandments, millions and millions of people have gotten to hear these same words of truth. But to what end? As these unenlightened souls don't understand these enlightened words. And no doubt what Moses said went in and out of the ears of those that know not, of those that are not yet attuned to the truth. Of course, in this case, as in the other cases, if one is not ready to hear and to know, then regardless of how much we try to explain, or what might be before their eyes, it is like throwing pearl before swine. Personally speaking, it wasn't until a number of years ago, while watching the movie, when this line by Charlton Heston, these precious words, instantly spoke to me in a loud and clear way, and resonated in my heart and soul, and brought a smile upon my face. But on with today's lesson. Today's world, that you just left your cars and you walked in here. You'll go back out in it today. Today's world is busy indeed. It's hectic and inharmonious. We know this firsthand since it presents itself to us every day. With so much going on out here in the world, how many people even think on such things as God? Of spiritual consciousness. When intellect and ego continually drive them towards the demands of this world. There are so many distractions, so much to do out here in the world. We are programmed to achieve. There is a social climbing and the search for lofty social status. The desire to become important, powerful, and respected. Yes, so much to do, so much to accomplish and need. But for certain, the sole pursuit of that of the world takes its toll. Yes, we could say that in all too many instances in today's world, we ourselves are caught up in Egypt. And what is Egypt? Metaphysically, Egypt is the mental bondage to sense thoughts and material consciousness. From day one, the expectations and demands of the world and of our society are thrust upon us. Ego of the flesh drives us, and there are those that come to believe they have failed to live up to the world and their very own goals and expectations. With a sense of failure upon them, and unaware of the kingdom all about them, they may start to feel less than. For sure, there are those that feel less than because they were not perfect students with perfect grades. Those that feel less than because they do not think and act as expected by those around him, to include their parents, their mates, believing that they can never live up to the expectations of those others in the world. And then there are those that have been told, look at your brother, look at your sister, or look at this person or that person. Why can't you be more like them instead of the nobody and the failure that you are? That's the flesh at work. And how about those that have been berated and verbally abused by unloving and angry parents and are told ugly things early on in life? Things that cut deep and fall within the depths of their subconscious. And so it is that there are those that have little, if any, self-esteem. Those full of self-doubt, errant feelings, that in all too many instances remain with them into adulthood and unfortunately on into the grave. They do not feel whole. They are in the ranks of the lost sheep. And all the while, an ever-present loving voice is calling out, saying, do not seek without. Seek not the approval of the world, for I am here to give you rest, to give you peace. You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased, eternally perfect and eternally whole. But still, the small voice continues to go unheard. And so there are yet those that place huge demands and expectations upon themselves, with the most important thing on their minds and in their world being the attainment of this or that status, a promotion to this or that position in this or that Fortune 100 company, becoming a world statesman, a powerful politician. Of course, there's nothing wrong with being successful, popular in life, but when such things consume us and become the singularly most important and driving factors in our existence, then these worldly pursuits become very heavy burdens indeed. And they become that to which we bow down to. Thus, those that do not achieve that which they have sought so hard to achieve, and to become out here in the world, often fall victim to self-pity, depression, and other negative feelings associated with a deep sense of failure. And the world upon their shoulders gets heavier and heavier, and they know not who they are. But let's examine for a moment this world we live in. It is a world of the flesh that presents a picture and a tendent idea of who is or who is not attractive, who is or who is not important, who is or is not successful and perfect. And there are those that live day by day, in and out, feeling that they do not measure up to the world's standards and perception of beauty, success, and so forth. So many seeking so desperately to belong, to measure up, see themselves as lacking and diminished because of their weight, their body shape, their facial appearance, the way they walk, the way they talk, and so forth and so on. These, the unaware and unlikened, suffer from mental anguish because they have not yet attracted a mate, been able to maintain a relationship, feel unattractive, unlovable, do not own this or that material item, and overall live in a sense of complete error. Yes, how tiring it is to try and live up to the call of the flesh, the outer. It is all so superficial, my friends, and as written, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So having been beaten up by the world, one would think that those experiencing lack and those experiencing despair would finally look within for their source, their answers, for their wholeness. But unbelievably, they continue on with their faith in the world, determined to overcome their perceived insufficiencies, to measure up to the world in which they live. And thus off they go, foolishly looking for that which the world promises, that of man, that which they believe shall change your lives for the best, that which shall make them complete. And the world is ready for them. It stocks and sells all they believe they need to be complete in today's world. Today, like no other time in history, we are bombarded by thousands upon thousands of television, magazine, newspaper, and internet messages that offer us this or that product or this or that service that is guaranteed to change our lives for the better and make us whole. There are products that are supposed to help us grow our hair, make it thick and beautiful, but they don't do it. Products that result in great weight loss, which is temporary at best, as a consciousness of health is not in place. Products that enhance muscular development. Products that make us look more beautiful and many years younger. Products guaranteed to make us more viral and sexy. Likewise, there are the high-end cosmetics that cost thousands of dollars. The plastic surgery that one needs not. But their errant thinking still drives them under the scalpel. And how about the many self-improvement programs that guarantee increased self-esteem, greater confidence, and longer life? The world is full of programs that guarantee a happier and fuller life, a full life full of contentment and joy. And all we have to do is buy into this or that product or sign up for this or that improvement program. The list of worldly cures and fixes is endless. And all the while, still, as this world calls us, the Goliath enterprises that cater and prey upon the human condition of lack, weakness, confusion, and perceived need reap astronomical profits every year. And so is the world of flesh. And as the soul group of the 1970s, one of my favorite groups called the Temptations sang, "A Ball of Confusion." I'm not saying that there is something wrong with wanting to look our best, present our best, be healthy, and live our best in the outer world. We should. However, it is when the ego takes hold and we place all importance on our personal selves, on living and placating the demands of the outside world, that the separation from our source, our separation from God, grows wider and wider. And we turn further and further away from our truth. And what happens is the things of this world become our God. And so it is that those that seek perfection and wholeness from the world of effect shall never find it therein, as wholeness and perfection are of God in the innermost recesses of our hearts and souls. Anyone holding on to the belief that he or she has a personal life, their own separate and apart from God, a life that they have the power to save or lose, a personal fortune of their own that they want someone to eternally protect, sees not the error of their thinking. Since the beginning of time, man has sought his destiny, his source, his origin, thousands of years ago, and up until this very minute, man continues to seek for knowledge, understanding, peace, and a sense of wholeness. But he seeks in error when he seeks in the imperfection of the flesh. And he has fallen prey to the call of the world and all of its illusion, a world of ego, arrogance, and folly. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also was a striving after wind. My dear friends, it is only through realization and the practice of the presence of God that we shall come to know and live in the spiritual kingdom. But even so, we shall not see it while our minds are still focused on duality, good and bad, rich and poor, God and us, and the world of effect in which we live. We shall never see the kingdom and the fullness thereof if we remain intent on exchanging bad material and outer conditions for so-called good ones, or by going to God and asking for this or that, so the outer condition more fully meets our human needs. God shall not be mocked. So let us not seek our wholeness, our identity, and perfection out here in the world. And let us not lean upon people, places, and things with expectations that they shall make us whole and complete. Rather, we must seek Him always. And when God is realized in our consciousness, let us watch with amazement the sense of doubt, lack, or need that is immediately erased by the light of the eternal Spirit that comes forth from within. Be not mesmerized by the false messages of the world, my friends, the messages of the world that fill the global airwaves, that suggest we are not whole, that we are lacking, and that our salvation is in this or that outer form. Let us not succumb to the criticisms or the expectations and demands of those about us, parents, siblings, so-called friends included. We shall never find truth through Twitter, through Facebook, through television, through radio, through magazines, in other global battles. Let us discover our wholeness and truth in earnestness, in the stillness, and in the quietness, in the beauty and truth of Scripture, through prayer and meditation, and through fellowship with the enlightened. Let us seek not to measure up to the yardstick of the world, to gauge our self-worth. Rather, let us come to the realization that all is within and of us, and that which we are now, eternal and perfect in all ways. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transferred by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And when we fully realize in consciousness the truth that our bodies are the temple of God, that we are one in and of Him, it is then that the demonstration shall go before us, and it shall be true to its purpose. It shall be good and very good. It is then, too, that the world about us and our experience in it will no longer embody confusion and discord, but rather be full of beauty and replete with God's enduring and unconditioning love. Awake, rise up and assert your sovereignty. I know yourself and your powers. Know that all I have is yours, that my omnipresent life is flowing through you, that you can take it and build with it what you will, and it will manifest for you as health, power, prosperity, peace, and anything you will of myself. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness? Please close your eyes. Assume a listening attitude. Sit comfortable in your seats. Yes, be still. Knowing that you're already all that you could ever be, it is your realization and consciousness that makes it so. You are. Father, I meet the experiences of today with prayer and power. Wherever I go, I am in the presence of your eternal goodness. Yes, God, you are the good, and you are all, and in all. Surrounded and upheld by your almighty good, my heart is filled with a great sense of peace, security, and satisfaction. Regardless of the experiences of the day, regardless of the human personalities that voice otherwise, I shall not doubt, I shall not worry, or be afraid. Only good is true. Only the good is real. God good is the only power, the only mind, and the only law of my life. Father, for the awareness of your loving and giving presence that is here and now, in all of its glory and all of its power, O most loving God, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen.